glad to have you here to talk a little bit about this tradition from the other side of the world.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Have you been involved with Friends of the Gamelan?
I have in the past. In 2006, actually, the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music sponsored us to perform in Kalamazoo at Kalamazoo College. Friends of the Gamelan Chicago group did the music, and a shadow puppeteer from Java came and did shadow puppets performance as part of a tour all over the U.S. But one of our performances was here in Kalamazoo, because I'm from Kalamazoo. So all the rest of the tour was New York and Washington, Seattle and Chicago, and I insisted on Kalamazoo. And so the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music sponsored us.
Those who are lucky enough to see it, and I was one of those people.
Oh, were
in
you
the
there?
Audience.
Yes. That's great.
It was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
That's right.
And it's so surprising to see such an extensive group of people sitting on the floor mm-hmm. with sound-making instruments in a variety in front of each of them, or sometimes one, but sometimes more than one.
That's right.
And yet the unity and the way it all came together was something quite special. No conductor.
No good. Well, that's right. That's what's so unique about gamelan is that you have an orchestra of anywhere from 5 to 25 people performing. And I think on October 9th, they're bringing about 10. So anywhere from 5 to 25 performing, and they're all listening to each other and interacting in a similar way that you might for jazz. So there are set patterns that they're playing or a set baseline structure through it. But in the moment, they need to listen to each other and react to each other. And they don't know when they start how many times they're going to play a cycle, or whether they're going to play more loudly, softly, fast, slow, where they're going to make transitions. That all happens in the moment.
So when you joined a gamelan group, mm-hmm. how were you introduced to the music?
Yeah, I was a very serious musician, actually. I played with the director, Betsy Start, of the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. We played chamber music together when I was in high school in 1978-1979. So I've known Betsy Start for a very long time. And then I was studying with Phyllis Rappaport.
The professor emerita of Western.
Yeah, that's right. The hero pianist of Kalamazoo, famous performer. I studied with her, and I was a very serious pianist, thinking I was going to go. I went to New York, and I was going to become a pianist, and that was what I was going to do. And I sort of hit a wall, because New York is pretty tough. And got tired of practicing in my little studio apartment and got tired of all the competition. So I just took a break. And when I was taking a break, I was trying other music. And I was actually in a master's degree program in piano performance at Queens College in New York, but they required us to take two non-Western instruments lessons. So instead of just reading about non-Western music or listening to recordings, they said, you're in New York, take lessons from somebody from that country. So I took Japanese flute lessons, I took West African drum lessons, and then I came across the Javanese gamelan. And they'd actually had a gamelan at Cornell University when I went to school, but I hadn't played it. I just walked right past it to go to the piano practice room, just right past it. And I thought, I'm going to try that. And it was at the Indonesian Consulate in New York City, but it's an all-American group, not a single Indonesian in the group. And I walked in the door in March of 1986, and in June of 86, I was in Java.
So,
and I never touched the piano again.
You fell hard.
Sorry, Phyllis. I never touched the piano again. And I really did. I fell really hard. And I came back after the summer of 86 and tried to find a way to get there permanently. And I moved there permanently in 1991.
So
I've been there for 22 years.
You're visiting Kalamazoo from Java now.
That's right. I came for a week just to visit my parents who still live here out on Gull Lake. So I'm only here for a week. I'm usually here a couple times a year to visit them, but I live there permanently. My husband is a professional drummer, gamelan drummer. So I met him. He was on a tour actually performing at the Smithsonian in Washington right before I left for Java. So I already knew I wanted to live in Java. I already had my visa. I already had my plans. I was on my way there, and I was part of this program at the Smithsonian just before I left and met this dynamic, charismatic, romantic Javanese drummer and ended up marrying him.
You sound, however, the student who went to New York and was following a plan and had been extremely disciplined in the classical world. You don't sound like someone who would just
crash and burn.
Head, you know, in a span of a few weeks,
yeah,
take off for Java because of music.
That's right. I came home from that first rehearsal because when I went to the first rehearsal at the Indonesian consulate, I was fascinated. They were reading notation, and I just, as a musician, I wanted to know, what are they looking at? What are they reading? It's not staff notation. What cues are they getting, and how are they interpreting this notation? And then that was before they started playing. And then they started playing, and the sounds and the just sort of the textures, because Javanese gamelan is 90, when you look at it, it's 90% bronze hanging pots and gongs and resonating keys and bronze various instruments. But then there's a string instrument piercing through there, playing a really important role. There's a solo of a female vocalist, and there's a chorus of male vocalists, and there's a flute, and there's a zither. So that's all part of the texture too, and the way they were all working together, and I couldn't. And then they would look up suddenly and start laughing as though something hadn't worked and somebody hadn't followed a cue. I was like, what are you all laughing at? This is fascinating. And I just went home and I said to everybody around me, I'm going to Java. I called my father here on Gaelic. I'm going to Java. He just started laughing. What are you talking about? But then I just fell in love with it. And the more I learned, the more I realized there was to learn. And there is so much to learn about how the interactions are going. And then when you're studying the music, then you realize it can be used for four purposes. For concert music, like you're going to hear on October 29th. Or it can be for processional music, like the king and his court in some sort of ceremonial procession. Or it can accompany dance. And it looks like they're going to play one dance piece. Probably without a dancer, I think, but they're going to play the dance accompaniment, or it can accompany the shadow puppets. And each one of those is a slightly different technique, aesthetic. And so you realize there's no end to what you can specialize in. I ended up specializing in the accompaniment for the shadow puppetry, but any one of those four areas is a lifetime of study.
Is this more like folk music or more like classical music?
That's an interesting question. That's a very controversial question in the ethnomusicological world. As a classical musician, I feel like it's more like classical music. It's extremely complex. The theory is highly advanced, and the way everybody's playing off each other, the choices they can make and the reasons they can make choices can be based on harmony, melody, rhythm. It's very, very complex. It also goes way back, but all those things I'm saying are also true of a lot of folk musics. So it's very hard to say, isn't it? Where do you draw the line and how do you draw the line?
Are you a good gamelan player now?
That's interesting too. You know, I've been playing for so many years now, and to be a good gamelan player, you need to be able to play all the instruments. So it's different from Western music where you specialize more. And you should be able to move around. People expect you to get up and move around in between pieces and play different instruments. Now, I'm able to do that. You're also supposed to be able to play without notation eventually. You're supposed to be able to just go to an event with people you've never played with before, like jazz in a way, and just react to them in the moment. And you have a shared repertoire, and you react to them. And I think I'm somewhat able to do that, but in Java, I'm considered a hobbyist level. So I'm considered... I can play with not the professional groups, but the groups who are highly highly enthusiastic and experienced, but maybe not at the radio station or at the palace.
Yes.
I wouldn't play with those groups.
I just wondered if you've invested decades of your time and love into it.
Yeah, well, I think I am maybe considered one of the more advanced foreigners. Mm-hmm. But compared to the Javanese, I'm nothing.
Now, how does a gamelan ensemble fit under the umbrella of a sacred music festival?
Mm-hmm. Well, Java is an extremely complex place religiously and spiritually. So And a lot of people don't, it's surprising to me always how little people know about Indonesia in general. You know, it really, it's North Americans in particular, and not so much Europeans, but maybe North Americans. It's so far away, it's halfway across the world, right? But it's the fourth most populous country in the world. So China, India, US, Indonesia, fourth most populous. Java is the most densely populated place on Earth.
Really?
The island of Central Java in particular, yeah. It's also the most populous Islamic country in the world. And Sunni Islam, most populous Sunni Islam. So all these things that you would think would draw a lot of attention today, people still really don't know about Indonesia. And that's because Indonesians have a very low profile. They're very flexible and tolerant and syncretic with their religion. So it started out as an animist tradition in the first, second, third, fourth centuries. Spirits in the trees, in a well, in a mountain, in a volcano, in a rock, and ancestor worship. And then Hinduism came into Java, and then Buddhism came into Java. But each time something came in, they melded it in and made this syncretic Javanese religion. So people in Java still today talk about Kejawen, is a lot of people's religion. Javanese-ness is their religion. So if I ask my husband what his religion is, he'll say Kejawen. And that means I'm a little bit animist. I have Buddhism and Hinduism in me, a little bit of Islam, and a little bit of Christianity. And it's interesting because Hinduism came in, then Buddhism, then Islam came in the 12th century, and then Christianity with colonialists. It was colonized by the Portuguese for a short time, and then the Dutch for hundreds of years, and then by the Japanese during World War II, and then became independent. And the only religion that it really hasn't melded in, not the only religion, but the only major religion, would be Judaism, probably a little bit of a political situation with the strength of Islam there. But the Islam that's there is melded in with Hindu Buddhist. So with Gamelan, you will have somebody who says they are Islamic, they're playing gamelan, they're fasting, fasting month, go to the mosque five times a day, but they give an offering to the gong before they play, or they have a special tree in their village that they feel it's important to give offerings to every Thursday night.
So the music itself means, it has a spiritual meaning or sense, or is used for...
It has a spiritual sense to it. People feel like the gamelan itself, the instruments itself, need to have offerings, and there's certain superstitions about the sacredness of the instruments. You're not supposed to step over them. They're different offerings, again, that you're supposed to give. The music itself has been used in mosques, it's been used in Buddhist temples, and it's been used in Hindu communities, and it's definitely used in the animist spiritual ancestor worship world to give thanks, do blessing ceremonies, village cleansing ceremonies. This month in Java is a special month. It's the lunar month that belongs to the goddess of the South Seas. And the goddess of the South Seas wants gamelan to be played for her, and she has special gamelan instruments that emanate from various volcanoes and mountains and that play special pieces for her. So that's all very sort of animist. And you'll have very people who will say that they're very strictly Islamic in their lives, really feeling that's an important event to attend.
at the library at 2 o'clock on the 29th, we have Friends of the Gamelan. This is a Chicago-based ensemble and very likely filled with people much like you.
Yes.
Do you know about this group in particular?
Yes. I I've played with them a few times and got in preparation for the Kalamazoo tour in 2006. What's unusual about this group, I think, is they reach out to a lot of different teachers. So there's a Javanese teacher in Minneapolis that comes down and teaches them sometimes. There's a Javanese teacher, Widianto, in San Francisco at Berkeley, who comes and teaches them. There's a performer in Wesleyan, Harjito, and a theorist at Wesleyan, Sumarsam, who come and play with them. So being in the Midwest, they reach north and east and west, and they bring all the Javanese teachers. And they've had a lot of different teachers coming and have gained different things from every teacher.
Will this be a good way for the uninitiated to learn and maybe fall in love with gamelan music?
I think so for sure, because I'm looking at their program and I'm seeing that it's quite varied. So they have some what we call loud style music, which is used per processions of the king, and he might be carrying his regalia, or some, he's not carrying it, but his attendants are carrying his regalia somewhere. So they're playing some of those loud pieces. They're playing a dance piece, and they're playing some of the one piece that's for accompanying the wayang, and they're playing some of the concert music. So there's a lot of variety there.
Well, Kitsy, thank you very much for coming in to talk about
Thank
the
you for
gamelan.
having me. Thank you so much.